Miss Ken Smith with us right here. Ken is an itinerant preacher. If you don't know what that means, that's what Jesus was. He just went from town to town preaching the gospel. Ken was pastor of, how many people do you have at that church? About 4,000 in Fort Lauderdale?
Pompano Beach.
Yeah, Pompano Beach. Excuse me. The rich folks live at Boca Raton. You don't know who you're talking to. Yeah, he decided to give that up and take a very small church, and because they needed the most help, he said. And then he got on the road and travels constantly to churches all over America. He's probably one of the best known and one of the best pulpiteers that I've ever heard. And I've heard some good ones. And we're so proud to have you. And to call you my friend is an honor. And we just love the way you preach. And I'll try to learn. And we will, you know. And if anybody says, why don't you do like that when this is over, I'm going to hit you in the mouth. Right. So it was my pleasure and honor and to introduce Ken Smith, my preaching friend, my brother in Christ, and one of the most wonderful itinerant preachers I ever met. So you will enjoy yourself this morning, Ken. Oh, yeah.
Don't take it with you now. Beaver, thank you for that introduction. My daddy would have liked it, and my mama would have believed it. I overwhelmed. To be with you folks. You have no idea how special it is to me when I get to come here, because you got an old pastor that I can look up to, and when I grow up, I won't be just like him. I've probably told this before, but I was thinking last night about this situation, about the University of South Carolina graduate and the Clemson graduate sitting in a Holiday Inn Express watching the 10 o'clock news. And the lead story was a boy jumping off the bridge. And the boy from South Carolina said, I'll bet you $10 he jumps. And the boy from Clemson said, you're on. Well, sure enough, and the boy jumped. The boy from Clemson started getting his wallet out. He said, wait just a minute. The boy from South Carolina said, I can't take your money. He said, I saw the 5 o'clock news. And he was the lead story on the 5 o'clock news. And the boy from Clifton said, well, I did too. I didn't think he'd jump twice. But I wasn't sure you'd have me twice, Beaver, so I was thrilled to be back here. And one of my other favorite stories that I love to tell is so appropriate. I'm from Mississippi. A lot of you thought I was from Boston by my accent. But I'm really not. I'm from Mississippi, and y'all just better be nice, because when you get to heaven, Paul talks like this. So I'm going to share with you that I had a boy in my hometown that had a frog that he was proud of that frog, carrying around in the sack, and he'd take him out different places, and the frog would play the piano. And folks was impressed with that, and some of his buddies said, you ought to take your frog to Las Vegas. So they pay big money to put them act like that. He took his frog in the paper sack and took off to Las Vegas, and he didn't know nothing about Las Vegas. He actually lived outside of Starkville in a suburb called Oktok. And if you lived in Oktok, you had to go toward town to hunt, okay, in the country, you know what I'm talking about? And so that dog ain't, I'm sorry, son, that's all I got. You got to live what I got. That dog's upset with my preaching. I can't do nothing about it, Lewis. He thinks I'm another dog. I've had a comment there I'm not going to give to you. But anyway, My friend saw this fancy hotel, and the guy had a uniform sitting on the outside. He didn't know he was a doorman. He thought it was somebody important because he had a uniform. He said, I have a frog in my sack that I want to put on stage here in Las Vegas. And the old boy said, look, you need to leave because ain't no frog in no sack going to be on stage. He said, we have Garth Brooks and we have Celine Dion. We ain't got no frogs out here. He said, well, listen, you need to. And he took the frog out and set him down at the piano, and old Herman started playing the piano. Well, the doorman's eyes got about that big, thought I can make a star out of him. And so, and the old boy from Mississippi said, I ain't through yet. Said, I got a goldfish named Fanny that sings. He said, do what? He said, let me show you. Reached in and out of the sack, got the goldfish and put it down. Said, play, Herman. And Herman began to play Beethoven's Fifth. That's a piece of music, it ain't. Some of y'all get that confused when you say fifth. And all y'all that know, I'm telling God on you. Y'all must be Methodists. Methodists is nothing in the world but Southern Baptists that drink in front of each other. But anyway. And the Baptist woman going like this, I'm going to join the Methodist church. Anyway, and he said, sing, Fanny. And she began to sing La Traviata, which is an opera. Not in Grand Ole, but an opera. And the doorman said, man, we fixing to be rich. We can be rich. And the old boy from Mississippi commenced to squall it. He said, I lied, I lied. And the doorman said, what do you mean you lied? He said, Fanny can't sing. Herman's a ventriloquist. If two boys from New England didn't get that, he said, Herman was the name of the frog. And he said, Fanny, the goldfish, can't sing. Herman, the frog, is a ventriloquist. That's the guy that can throw his voice. You get around them folks from Cleveland, you got to explain everything that you do. But I say that story because that old boy didn't know what he had, did he? Well, sometimes when I come here and I watch you guys and see what you do and hear what God has done and watch Beaver on television of my handheld device, I got two of them, and I asked Beaver if he tweeted. He said, all the time. I said, I mean, do you have a phone that you... Anyway, but anyway, I am blown away by what you do. This is, I think Jesus likes this. I really, really do. I think he thinks it's what church is supposed to be. Look around you. I wouldn't have some of y'all. But Jesus does. And that's the way he operates. And I don't care where you've been and what you've done and who you slept with and what you drank and what you smoked. He loves you.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And he went to a cross to die for you. And that's why Lost and Found is so important. I was at a high-level meeting. I'm on the board of trustees. And I was at a board of trustees meeting yesterday, and an old boy said to me, where are you going to preach tomorrow? And I said, well... I'm going to a bar in Myrtle Beach. And I'm going to preach to the church of Lost and Found. He said, you kidding me? Where are you really going? I said, I'm really going. He said, send me a picture. And so I found Miss Greenway back in the back, put my arm around it, and I'm going to send it to him. And it's going to say, here I am in that bar with a beautiful blonde. And my wife knows about it. So, well... My wife says, get with it, preach the text. I saw the alarm clock, Beaver. I told this last time I was here, but it's appropriate. I used to pastor in Tallahassee, and I'd go over to Blue Springs Baptist Assembly to preach. And I'd go over there to preach, and I loved it. I could leave my house at 6 and get there at 6. Because you cross the timeline. You're 6, or, you know. And I loved it. One day I was going over there to preach, and I forgot my watch, and I thought I better check my time. I pulled over, and there was a boy milking a cow in the barn there, and I got my best preacher voice. You can tell preachers. You can tell preachers in grocery stores, really. Where can I find the broccoli? But anyway, I walked over where he was. I said, I'm going to speak at a very important evangelistic meeting. I said, could you tell me what time it is? And he's just milking away. And he stopped, picked up that cow's bag, and said, 4:30. Went back to milking. I started to walk out of the barn. I said, sir, I've never milked a cow in my life. How in the world could you tell time doing what you did? He said, you've never milked? I said, no, sir. He said, sit down on that stool by me. And he taught me a Hebrew word. He said, take holt. He said, pick up the bag. I did. And he said, see that clock on the wall over? I see the clock. I got it. All right, let's get started. I can't even begin to tell you again. I'm thrilled to be here because I think what God's given me to speak to you is awesome. I really do. I don't often say that, but all during the Easter season, if you've been doing this for 50 years, you start looking for stuff that says it better than you said it last time. And by the calendar, based on Easter probably was in April normally, but it's some kind of equinox that some guy smarter than me figured out. That's why we had it earlier. But time-wise, this would be about 2 weeks after the resurrection, and there's an encounter that occurs that absolutely blows my mind. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, don't look that up. I've got it marked. I'm going to read it. That's not the text for the morning. But in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Mark, there's a very interesting statement, a little phrase. Let me give you a little biblical background. Mark, it was written by John Mark. And John Mark was a very young man, and he is actually writing down what Peter told him. And so he knew that. By the way, in the 16th chapter, in the Gospel of Mark, you'll find the first biblical streaker. Y'all know what streaking is? It's where you run with no clothes. If you study Mark, you can find the first biblical streaker. I'm not making that up. There's a young man who was startled and ran, and they grabbed his toga, and he streaked down the. That was John Mark. And only John Mark would have told that. He wouldn't have told Matthew. Matthew was highbrow, and he wouldn't have told that. But Mark did. But anyway, Mark is writing down all the stuff. And in the 16th chapter of Mark, the resurrection story, there's the most amazing phrase I've ever read. And I'll explain that before we get through. He said to them, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples. And there that phrase is. And Peter, whatever you do, go back and tell all the disciples and Peter that he has risen. Now, why in the world is that in Mark's gospel? Because Peter knew that was important for him. So if you're a note taker, title this sermon this morning, Geechee Brown, Simon Peter, Me and You, and the Resurrection. That's a long thing to write out, but remember it in your head. Geechee Brown, Simon Peter, Ken Smith, and You, and the Resurrection. One of the most difficult things I try to do as an evangelist is try to explain to people that the resurrection is not for the famous. It wasn't just for the good. It wasn't for those who had it all together. It wasn't for those that were members of the Chamber of Commerce. It wasn't for those that everybody liked. It was for the folks that Jesus was looking for. Nicodemus came in the night. The centurion came in the middle of the day. The leper and the sinful woman appeared in the middle of crowds. Zacchaeus was in the middle of a tree. Matthew had a party for him. The educated, the powerful, the rejected, the lonely, the wealthy. Who would have ever put together a crew like that? All they had in common is that they had empty hope chest, long left vacant by fakes and profiteers. Though they had nothing to offer, they asked for everything, a new birth, a second chance. And without exception, their requests were always honored. That's why I want you to meet Geechee Brown. You wouldn't know Geechee unless you were in a pool hall in Dublin, Georgia, or at a truck stop along 75, because that's where Geechee works as a short order cook. 24 years and 4 seconds ago, Geechee Brown blew it, and he never got over it. Let me explain. The story goes like this. Dublin lost to Upson 66-65 in an overtime basketball game. But the Georgia High School Athletic Association overruled a call by one of the officials, and the two teams were summoned back to play 4 seconds on a Monday afternoon. Nobody in the gym, only the two teams and two referees. But they had to be played. They threw the ball to Geechee, who took the shot and was fouled. So all he had to do was to make one of the two to get to a playoff, and both of them, and they could win, but he had to make the first one. "It's painful to think," he wrote, "what I could have done, what I might have been." Telling the Macon Telegraph, "I don't think of how I failed. I can't, not a day goes by that I don't think how I failed everybody." That's why he's a cook in a truck stop. And he wrote, "I see myself as I might have been, with a life never the same. That event robbed me of my confidence. I always wondered why I was so sorry and could never do any better. What I might have been." Hello, Simon Peter. It was a night they were eating around the table, and Jesus said, "All of you are going to walk out." And Simon Peter was kind of the Barney Fife of the New Testament. He always had something to say. He said, "Whoa, wait a minute." This is in the Greek. Y'all hadn't had Greek. He said, "Wait just a minute. All these cats, they may walk out, but you get it straight, Jesus. This sucker ain't going nowhere. I'll stay right by you to the bitter end." Jesus said, "Be careful, boy. Roosters crow in the night." It wasn't long after that. She was a handmaiden. She waiting tables. Came out to where he sat. She said, you look like that bunch that was with him." "No," he said, "I wasn't there." She said, "You sound like him." "No, you got me confused." The third time, she said, I know you're with him. I can't tell you what he said because it's dirty." The scripture said, "I don't know him." And the rooster crowed. And Peter ran. And they nailed Jesus to the cross. You see, that's why when Jesus first spoke, he had the angel say, go tell my disciples I'm not in the grave anymore. But make sure you get word to Simon Peter. I want him to know that everything's okay. Peter, get you Brown and me. That's where you come in. We fail. The scripture says we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. If you lie about that, you'll lie about a lot of other things. You failed. And you're not sure you're worth anything. And if I were keeping score on me, I'm not worth anything. I love to shock checkout girls in Walmart. When they say things like, "How are you doing?" I love to say, "A lot better than I deserve. Judging by Jesus, I ought to be dead in a hammer, but because he loves me, I'm walking around in grace." That'll stop them from asking you how you're doing. People ask me how I'm doing. I always say, I'm blessed and highly favored. I want folks to understand that like Geechee Brown, old Ken Smith has messed up in life, hadn't done it right. I've got prejudice and anger and meanness in my body. I do terrible things. If I were choosing a team, I wouldn't choose me to be on the Jesus team, but I'm not the one choosing. And I'll bet you Satan has conned you into believing that you're not worth much either. You can probably list for me the place you know you messed up. Well, I remember, or I've had a, or I did, you can name them all. You, Geechee Brown, and I have a lot of things in common. We don't promise stuff that we keep. We don't walk like we said we did. All of us have knelt at an altar and said, "God, I'm tired of being the way I am," and it's not 48 hours later when I'm like I was. And if I were choosing us, I wouldn't choose us, but that's not who God is. I'm big on poetry. As children bring their broken toys with tears to us, to men, I bought my broken dreams to God because he is my friend. But then instead of leaving him in peace to work alone, I hung around and tried to help with ways that were my own. At last I snatched him back and cried, "How could you be so slow? My child, what could I do? You never let go." I came from Tallahassee, Florida, because I love Beaver. And I felt like he needed a birthday present. His wife told me she wasn't getting nothing. And I knew I'd see Lewis. I knew I'd see your men who come to the Cove every year. I came because I love that. I came because I love this church. I came because I love what you do. I love the Jesus that you lift up. But I came because I wanted to tell the lost and the found, he knows where you are, and he loves you anyway. He went to the cross and rose from the dead so you would know what victory is. Every one of us in this room got somebody going through something. Amen?
Amen.
Five bypasses, kids not doing what they're supposed to do. I've got friends battling cancer and ALS, and I'm, you know, I got a friend that had ALS for 7 years now, and I drive down to see him. We'll go down in a couple of weeks, and I'll get in the car and squall all the way back home and gripe at God because it seems to me he's messed up. I say things to him like, "God, I pastored in this town for 5 years, and I know some sorry suckers that live here. Why Tony? Why is Tony battling that? Why is he living that way? And God, you must have messed up." And every time God answers me back very calmly, "Are you God, Ken, or am I? If I am, you just let it go. I got it. All the folks you know that got bad stuff going in, you tell them, in Mark, your name is there. It says, go tell all my disciples and fill in the blank. Tony Flores, Jerry Walker, Brian McCreary, that's my friend battling stuff that they're not going to win unless God does a miraculous act. But I want them to know that the resurrection's coming.
Yes, it is.
Now let's see if I can just put a bow on top of all this and give you something to take home as you go out to talk about how bad the preacher was. Beaver, by the way, you're doing a good job. I talked to a woman earlier and asked her about you, and she said she didn't know what sin was until she came where you were. And I don't... I don't know what she meant by that. I just took it for the best.
She didn't hear it all.
But let me tell you my favorite story. I went to college in Waco, Texas. People always ask me about my athletic career, and I always say the same thing. There are two more guys got to die, and I'll be an All-American at Baylor. Because they all wanted to know I wasn't any good. And they'll be gone, and I can just say whatever I want to. But I went to Texas, and Texans always mean a lot to me. So when I heard this story, it just spoke highly to me. Old boy got him a Rolls Royce, driving it down a West Texas road going to Lubbock, Texas. And the only person on the road to Lubbock, Texas are lost people and truck drivers. And his Rolls Royce broke down. And he called on his cell phone to Rolls Royce and said, look, I've broken down out in the desert, and I need you to be here. And they said, hold on. 45 minutes later, a jet helicopter lands. Five mechanics get off the helicopter, repair the Rolls Royce, get back on the helicopter, and fly away. The Texan was very pleased with the service, drove his Rolls Royce on to Lubbock. About another month, he was back home, and he realized that he had not gotten the bill, so he called Rolls Royce, and he said, I own a Rolls Royce, as you know, and you guys flew a helicopter out and five mechanics fixed it. I'm yet to get a bill. And the voice on the other end said, sir, we have no record a Rolls Royce has ever broken down anywhere. It's all over. Jesus had risen from the dead. Peter was there, got excited, and then remembered. He remembered he'd messed up, and he ran. He ran back to his comfort zone. He went back to his fishing business. He gathered with his friends there at the fishing business and was going to do life as normal. And then Jesus showed up where he was. He took the bread and gave it to them and with the fish. And they were eating breakfast. Chick-fil-A had not been invented. It was a Sunday morning. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I want to ask you a question. Peter's heart leaped into his throat. He's going to ask about my faithfulness. He's going to ask me if I was strong. He's going to ask me if I did what I promised. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? With guilt and emotion racing out of his heart, Peter said, oh, I do. I do. And the second time, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Lord, yeah, I do. And a third time, just like three denials, do you love me? Oh, Oh, Lord, you know I love you. And every time Jesus said something about the sheep, feed them, tend them, care for them. Now hold on, I'm almost through. There are no broken Rolls Royces. There are no unforgiven sinners. It's only those who refuse to accept the grace. And when you do, believe it or not, he thinks you can do something about the mess our world is in. This is called the final conclusion on my outline. Listen. I wish I thought we could put somebody in the White House that would make our land better. Amen. I wish I thought we could get a Congress that would do something right. Amen. I wish I thought the people who were in power would be strong in the faith. But every time I read what Jesus says and what the book says, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble himself and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways and pray, then I will heal your land. Folks, he saw the world as sheep without a shepherd. And he's looking for Simon Peter and Ken Smith and you to understand that loving him means you got a job to do, to feed the sheep. I've never met Geechee Brown. I'm looking for him. I want to find what truck stop he's working in, and I want to go tell him. I don't care how many shots you missed, Hoss. Jesus loves you. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what this book says. And this book never lies. Amen. Would you bow your heads and your hearts with me this morning? Father, in this world in which we live, it's so easy to listen to the wrong things. I'm not talking about music or stories. I'm talking about listening to the devil and the demons that prowl around seeking to devour us, lying to us, threatening us. Help us to understand that we have a mighty fortress who is our God, who is a redeeming, conquering, loving Father who's looking for us. In the middle of broken dreams and broken hearts and empty hope chest, he comes to offer us relief and redemption and restoration. And they may be watching on television across the country, or they may be sitting in this room, but if they've never heard the whisper of Jesus, my child, I love you, may they hear it this morning. May they know the grace and mercy that is theirs in Christ Jesus, and may they not run from it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to just talk to you, not the person next to you, or just to you. But if you're here this morning and you know without a shadow of a doubt you're not where you need to be with God, to yourself, would you pray this prayer? Just to yourself or something like it. God, I messed up. I missed the free throw. I don't think I'm worth much. I'm kind of ashamed of who I am. Would you come into my life? Cleanse me. Help me to walk in a new direction, to be your child. I give my heart to you this morning, Lord. I give you my heart. Or maybe you're one of those folks who just kind of arrived on the scene wanting to do something religious today. And you heard Jesus say, it ain't the religion, it's a relationship.
Yes.
Maybe you'd pray something like this morning. Father, I know all about you. Got a Bible in my house on the coffee table. I don't look at it, but I got one. My grandmama took me to Sunday school. I remember that. I've gone to church a bunch. I give the United Way. They're thinking about making me citizen of the year in the town where I'm from. But God, I don't know you. I don't know about that grace and forgiveness. So Lord Jesus, right now, in this place, speak to my heart. Draw me back to you. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you're toting something around. I mean, you got a burden and a heartache that won't go away and you don't know what to do with it. You might want to pray a prayer something like this. Lord, I'm glad I came to church today. I'm glad I heard about Jesus, but I want you to know in my life right now, I'm burdened about, and you fill in the blank. And my temptation is to carry it around with me. But right now, in the quietness of this place, I give you my rebel son. I give you my friend battling cancer. I give you my friend with ALS. I give you the confusion that reigns in the lives of my grandchildren. I give all that stuff to you, God, and I'm going to leave it here in this building. I'm going to let you have it. I'm going to go on my way feeding and caring and tending to the sheep. God, you hear my prayers from all of these people. Give them joy in Jesus is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
You follow him.
No.
Not me.
No.
Now I'm going to lead the singing. Thank you so much, Ken. You never know how much we appreciate your messages. And you heard a real preacher today. And you take heed to what he said. And the song that we sing now, at the close of every service, tells the story he just told.
Yes, it does.
How wonderful. Take heed. Time is short. I believe that you and I will see the return of the Lord. As a matter of fact, your good friend Billy Graham, 97, and I believe he'll see it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Keep looking up. Keep coming back. And if you leave me some of them outline things you were talking about. maybe I can learn to do that. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming. If you hadn't been here before, come again, please. We've invited Ken back next week. He said, forget it, but we invited him. I went, what the heck? But we try. We got the same message. We got the same Jesus. We got the same salvation. The same hope.
Yes, sir.
And the same home to go to soon. All right? We always sing this song if you stand and you ready, Brother Trexler?
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Sinner.